Hi everyone, I'm Katie.
I'm JoJo, and this is the Flight Attendant Confessional, the Tello Podcast.
Today we are talking about how to be an asshole. Is that the best way to put it? Or how not to be an asshole?
Yeah, today we are talking about what to avoid doing when you are on a plane.
Yes. And what to do. We'll do kind of two parts in this. And we're going to go over what not to do and what to do. And this particular episode is just about boarding and before the flight.
Yeah. So this is mainly just how, yeah, like Katie said, how not to be an asshole. How to just not piss us off.
Yeah. Part one.
Part one.
We'll do a second part, you know, next week or whenever, about how to be an asshole during flight. Or how not to be an asshole. We want you to learn how not to be an asshole.
Yeah. Like, are you an asshole? You'll find out if you're an asshole.
I think it's that same old rule. Like, if you have to ask, like, am I being an asshole? If
you probably are.
Most definitely you are.
All right.
Still, the rule applies to flying as well. You're still probably an asshole.
And we are going to start.
Yeah, let's jump in.
We are going to start with, as soon as you board, please don't ignore us whenever we say hello. It'd be nice if you said hello back or nodded or any form of acknowledging us whenever you walk in the door.
Because we stand there and say hello. We look at you and say hello. And I just think it's so rude if you ignore us. You look right past us and turn down the aisle and walk away. I don't know. I just think that's rude. You're an asshole.
Yeah. And my thought that goes through my head, honestly, sometimes if it's been a long day, I'm like, okay, well, I'll ignore you if we have an evac.
Sorry, that one really got my funny bone.
I'm just like, all right. You ignore me, I'll ignore you.
It is true that, like, sometimes we have had a really, really hard day, and somebody ignoring us just, like, can push us over the edge. And it does. It's an indication of how they're going to be on the flight. I would maybe let them off in an emergency, but I definitely, like, note that passenger didn't say hello.
Oh, yeah, I noted, and I'm like, you want extra treatment whenever we're up in the air? You want special treatment? You want anything extra? It's not going to happen.
You want me to warn you when the cart is coming dangerously close to your knee sticking out on the aisle?
Nope.
I do not think so.
Not going to happen.
Not going to happen. So say hi to us, please. We're people.
All it takes are people, too. All it takes is a, hey, how you doing? How's your day going?
A smile.
Even a smile, like, yeah.
An acknowledgement that we're a living human.
Yeah.
I know that you're still wearing masks right now, but we can still tell if you smile. If you look at us and we can tell that you're smiling, your eyebrows are raised or whatever. Whatever.
You can tip your hat to us.
That you could. Okay, so you walk on the plane, say hello to us, please, and then the next thing you can do to be a mega asshole is, in my opinion, stop and ask us a question and block everyone from getting on the plane.
So this bothers me a little bit, but I think it bothers you way more than it bothers me.
It bothers me so much.
Yeah, I think I don't mind people asking me a question if they step out of the way of people.
But see, I almost like it more. I don't like it when they step out of the way and let other people pass, especially during boarding, because I need to make sure that no tagged bags are getting on board. I need to do my ocular pat down. Like, you know, we're doing a lot in those moments, and we're it's important to see every person that walks onto the plane.
Yeah, I mean, I still think it's a huge inconvenience for us, and I definitely would rather you wait until we're done boarding. Like, it is unnecessary unless it's like some kind of it's really, really necessary at that moment. But I think,
yeah, there's exceptions to everything.
There's exceptions, but like if someone's like stopping boarding to ask me if they can get a glass of water, I'm like,
hell no.
I'm super annoyed. I'm just like, are you serious? Can you see I'm doing 50,000 different things right now?
And I think maybe this bothers me more during deplaning, but we'll talk about that a different day.
Yeah, honestly,
but you're right. I guess during boarding,
I feel like less people ask me questions while deplaning.
Yes, I think there's less questions, but it still happens where they just stop and ask you questions about their gate or their baggage or their connection or this or that. And you're like, get the fuck off the airplane. I don't have any of the answers you need. But if you get off, the sooner you get off this airplane, somebody will help you answer your question. And everyone else behind you can also get off. And I can get off. Because
mm-hmm.
I'm tired.
Exactly. Let me off the plane. I want to get off.
But yeah, that's deplaning. We'll talk about that a different day.
Yeah.
So just keep in mind, if you're boarding the plane and you stop to ask us a question, just make it really brief and make sure it's necessary. If you can ask this once you get to your seat, do that. There's people behind you. We got places to go, people to see.
Mm-hmm, exactly. And another thing during boarding that we really do not like this really aggravates me, is whenever people don't sit in their assigned seat.
Like, or, I mean, it's along the same lines, when they stop and ask, can I sit anywhere?
I think this is people getting confused because they fly, like, Southwest or something.
Let me say this loud and clear to all of you passengers. Southwest Airlines is the only airline that lets you sit anywhere.
And you still can't really sit anywhere. You still have to, like, I mean, you still have boarding groups. So.
But you can take any open seat.
Take any open seat. But still, like, they still have some semblance of structure. But whenever you, there's no first class. It's all the same seats except exit row and Southwest. So I think they just get confused maybe, or it's their first time flying. I don't know.
Maybe they're just used to flying Southwest, but still, I mean,
What really annoys me is whenever people get like a cheap, super cheap economy ticket that doesn't allow them to like select their seat. So they end up in a seat opposite of their child or whatever. And yes, we're going to try and get you next to your child or whoever.
Oh my God.
But then they expect us to get the people next to them to move. And I actually had this lady and she's like, oh my gosh, I'm going to need to be next to my daughter. Like, oh, we're flying together. I need to be next to my daughter. Like, she's sitting here. She was sitting like one seat away from her. Her daughter was like 30 years old.
That exact same thing happened to me last week.
And she was making such a big deal out of it. And I'm like, look, we don't move you unless the people next to you will be okay with moving. And I'm like, they purchased their seats and they may have wanted the seats they are in. And I was around and the guy sitting next to one of the mom wanted a window seat, and the woman sitting next to the daughter, who was 30 years old, wanted an aisle seat. And I was like, ma'am, I'm not letting you force these people into moving their seats. because you want to sit right next to your daughter, your one eye, you can talk to her from where you are. And it was like a 30-minute flight.
I was going to say, and for like 1 hour.
It was not even an hour.
It just pisses me off. Maybe that's the wrong word. It blows my mind how people think that I guess it's flattering that they think that flight attendants are going to solve all the problems.
I mean, like, we can't.
They never ask the gate agent. It's like every time they come on, and again, they stop, they hold boarding, they're panicked. They're like, I'm not sitting next to my children. I don't know what to do. Can you move us around? Can we blah, 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 yada, yada, yada. And
it's like, weren't you sitting in the gate area for like 3 hours? Couldn't you have asked the gate agent?
And honestly, a lot of times I just say, go to your assigned seat and ask the people around you. Or I will say, if it's really a young child, I'll say, pick one of your seats, go sit there together and ask the people sitting in those seats if they would like to switch. If they won't, press your call button. I will have to get the gate agent to come down here and move seats, but I'm not authorized to do that. I always like deflect it. And I'm always just like, nope, can't do that.
No, I always say, I'm like, I can't move. I can't. But you can ask them. You can ask the people that are sitting next to you. But
especially if it's a kid, of course they're going to say yes.
If it's a child, yes. That's the thing. But these adults were not going to say yes to moving for another adult.
No.
And they were already settled in their seats. I was like, yes, I'm not kidding. And the lady, the mom, bully about it. So I was being a bully back to her. I was like, Pam, you're not forcing these people to move out of their seat.
So yeah, that's the other thing, is that if you come on and you demand to sit next to somebody, there's nothing. You know what? I take it back. Earlier I said that we can't do that. We can. We can do whatever we want to a point on the airplane. If you're super nice about it, you've got a baby, you've got little kids, and you're nice, we will move mountains to get your family together. We will do whatever it takes. We will get you guys sitting together.
Yeah, we will.
If you're an asshole about it, we might do what we can to make sure you don't sit where you want.
Yeah. It's just like, why am I going to go above and beyond for someone who was just rude to me?
Yeah, exactly. Like,
if you're going to lead with rudeness, or you're going to lead with a bad attitude coming into it, why am I going to do that for you?
I think a lot of this stuff boils down to a lot of our what not to do, a lot of our how to be an asshole, comes down to common sense and politeness. I understand if you don't know all of our procedures on this specific carrier, but that doesn't mean that you should be rude about it and expect it to be like every other flight you've had.
Oh yeah, exactly.
We digress.
Yes. moving on.
Moving on. So basically, no, you cannot just sit anywhere you want. And please don't just sit anywhere you want. Don't ask us and don't sit anywhere you want. Just look at your boarding pass. Use your eyes. There's a seat number printed right there.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, one last thing before we move on.
Okay.
Have you noticed lately I've had a lot of people coming up to me saying, being confused about their seats? Recently I recently had somebody walk up to me and say, I can't find my seat. I didn't see a row 09. I just saw row 9. And then like a week later, this girl comes up to me and she goes, I can't find 4D. I can only find 4CD. Like, she's in first class. Like, there's just two seats. And it said row 4, and then it says CD above it. Like, C is the aisle and D is the window.
I haven't had that recently. I think you've just been running into some really dumb people.
Just dumbasses.
Yeah. I mean, I've had people who just were kind of clueless, but I think a lot of people really, it was some of their first times flying.
And, I can see that.
But that, I think, is specific to you.
I have to be honest, for both of those situations, I was so thankful for my mask. And it took me a second, especially when that girl comes up and says, I can't find 4D. I can only find 4CD. I was so confused about what the hell she was saying. And then I finally figured it out. And I was just like, oh, honey.
Maybe they should start painting letters on the seats.
Right?
4A. This seat is 4C.
I mean, I just don't know how we can make it any more obvious for some people.
I don't know. People who are not bilingual, people who completely speak one language,
absolutely
can find a letter and a number because it is universal.
I would like to point out that
numbers.
Both of these times they were American citizens. It was clear that English was their first language.
I figured that they were.
Yeah.
I was thinking about the completely Spanish family that I had today that found their seats perfectly fine.
Oh, always.
Yeah.
It almost seems like if they don't speak English, it's like they're extra prepared.
Oh, like they're
extra good. They're polite. They work to find the information that they need. You know, they're paying attention. They're not just like waiting for somebody to tell them. Exactly. Because if we do tell them, they don't understand.
But I will say that a lot of foreign people, because they are from another country, it leads into our next one. Don't bring a crap ton of carry-ons, but because they're traveling from another country, they bring so many bags. Oh my God. So many bags. I had one time it was like 8 people. I don't even remember where they were from. Didn't speak English. And I think each person had like 2 carry-ons. And I was like, I don't even know.
Suitcases?
Yeah.
Like I've noticed
a carry-on and a large backpack. I mean, I don't know if they may have been moving to the States. You never know. But I was just like, Jesus Christ, there's so many bags. It was insane.
I hope this doesn't come off as racist, but
I hope not. If you preface it that way, I'm kind of scared.
I don't know if maybe the travel restrictions between Asia and Canada are more relaxed than the US and Asia, but I have noticed a lot of non-English speakers from Asia in Vancouver specifically coming onto the plane with like 15 carry-on items. Like each person has 2 roller bags, a backpack, a shopping bag, and like a purse. And they don't speak English.
And you're like, oh, can you stow that? And they're like,
and they smile at you and just walk away.
They're so nice. And you're just like.
They're so nice about it.
You're just like, you can't understand me. But.
So anyways, just bring your 2 allotted carry-on items.
Yes, it really helps.
Yes.
And we don't have to tell you anything about it.
Yeah.
Also. Do not complain that you have to check your carry-on bag.
Or else I will backhand you.
She does hit people.
That's what happened when a couple episodes ago, a couple weeks ago, when someone came up to complain about having to check their bag and I accidentally hit him.
Yeah. Yeah, and
yeah.
I need to stop saying yeah too much. It's just so unnecessary, right? Like, we don't have any control over it.
No.
I mean, and we do have some control over it, but
that's the thing, is that if you came to us, I have mixed feelings about this. Last week I had a passenger come up to me and tell me her bag didn't fit in the bins. There wasn't space. It was too big. I can't remember, but her bag wasn't fitting. And she said, she was really polite about it. And she said, I'm going to visit my friend who is dying. And I have in this bag, I have a bunch of photo albums of him and I together. And I don't want to have to check this bag underneath the plane. I would like to keep those photo albums in my personal possession. And which I totally understood. I mean, my heart just broke for her. And it was like, she was so nice about it. And I was like, you know what? I'm going to do every single thing I can in my power to make sure your bag fits on this plane. And we did. We worked it out.
But I mean, not everybody's friend is dying.
But most people come up
don't and use that, like, and people don't use that story to take advantage of the system or something, or take advantage of us.
And if somebody's listening to this podcast, they're not trying to take advantage of us, hopefully.
I hope not. But they also, I've had people say something about medication and stuff like that. And I'm like, okay. And I'm like, can you take your medications out? And they're like, no, it's like all medication. And I'm like, thinking like, oh, fuck, well, I guess I'll try. But there's certain times where I've tried to get it on. But there's also times where I've literally had someone come to the thing and I'm like, oh, we don't have any more room. We're checking bags now. And this guy was like, oh, well, the gate agent said I could try. And I'm like, oh, well, we're done. Like, the other flight attendant said we're full. And this guy recently, he said, oh, well, the last time they told me everything was full, I went to the back of the plane and there were empty spots. He was like, can I just take my bag back there and see if there's empty spots? And I was like, no.
What an asshole.
I was like, maybe if you would have said it differently, I would have said, yeah, sure. Why don't you just go see? Why don't you go see if it'll fit? But the way he said it, I was like, no, don't be an asshole.
Don't be an asshole. So, yes, just don't complain about having to check your carry-on item. Don't come up and tell us that you have a tight connection and you don't want to check your bag. To be honest, we just don't care. Is that rude?
No, I mean, I care sometimes if they tell me why. But, like, so many people book tight connections without looking at the actual connection time, that it's like, okay, you and the 50 other people here have tight connections. Like, we know everybody has tight connection. We can see your connections. Like, we have a phone that tells us how many people have tight connections.
And we know exactly how much time you have.
Yeah. Like, yesterday, I think, I had this lady, like, ring her call button, and she was like, oh, my God, like, I have such a tight connection. And I'm like, ma'am, you know we're going to land in mountain time. Like, we were going from Eastern to mountain.
Oh.
And I was like, we're landing in mountain time. And she's like, wait, what? And I'm like, we're landing in mountain time. And she's like, oh, well, like, we're going to land at, like, 6:30. And I'm like, no. We're not landing at 6:30. She's like, we're going to land like right whenever they start boarding my plane. And I'm like, what time do they start boarding? And she's like, they're boarding at 6:30. And like, she kept, ma'am, just give me a second. I'm going to go check your connection. Like, I literally needed to get away from her to think, because she was confusing me the way she was talking. I didn't even go back to talk to her. I just made an announcement. I was like, okay, so we are landing in mountain time. That's a 2-hour time difference from Eastern time. And then finally, I was just like, oh, my gosh, she was overwhelming me. with all of that. And whenever I was talking to her, I was like, she's like, can I get to the front of the plane? So I have this short connection. Can you make everybody stay seated so I can go to the front of the plane? I was like, I can't do that. I can request people stay seated, but I can't make everyone stay seated. And I was like, and ma'am, everybody on this plane has a connection. She's like, well, everybody doesn't have a connection. I'm like, yeah, pretty much everybody has a connection. I was like, almost every person has a connection. Like,
sometimes when they ask if they can get to the front of the plane or get off first, sometimes I feel like saying, why don't we just pop open one of these exits and I'll shove you out now?
Yeah. The only time I have done that once for people.
Popped an exit, pushed them out of the flight.
No, gotten people off first is whenever their son was literally in the hospital dying.
Oh, yeah.
Got them off. I was like, they were like, we need to get to the hospital. Our son's in the ICU. Can we get off first? I was like, yes. 100%, you're getting off the plane first. Like, we'll find a way. That's whenever we do things for you extra.
Yeah, but, and I think what's important to note, too, is that I think a lot of you people, a lot of passengers think that whatever they have, I mean, I guess all of us as humans, we think that whatever we have going on is so important. It's so time sensitive. It's, oh my God, I'm going to miss my connection. And the next flight doesn't leave until tomorrow. And that's one day of my vacation that's gone. And it's like, you know what? You have no idea what is going on with the other 100+ passengers that are on this plane. There are people on this plane whose sons are dying, whose friends are dying. Like, there are people on this plane who are dealing with some real shit. Not that your vacation isn't important, but I just think a lot of people get tunnel vision when it comes to flying. And it's like, we are all doing the best we can to get everyone to their connections, off the plane safely. Give us a fucking break.
Don't be an asshole.
Don't be an asshole. I mean, yeah, if you think you're being an asshole, if your wife is giving you the stink eye, like you shouldn't talk to her that way, you shouldn't talk to us that way.
Mm-hmm. Or your husband giving the stink eye. I've had a lot of times where I'm embarrassed because the wife is being a bitch.
I actually think that's much more common.
Yeah.
Women are usually much meaner to us.
Yeah. I've had it where the wife was being such a bitch and the husband looks at her so embarrassed. And then I'm just thinking to myself, how is this lady married and I'm not married?
Because honestly, she got married in the 80s when people still got married.
Yeah. And sometimes it's like really attractive people with these ugly people, like ugly on the inside.
Yeah.
And I'm just like, why are you with this ugly person on the inside? Like, don't be there. Like, there's two types of ugly, and that's the worst kind.
Oh, yeah. Do you sometimes just want to say to those, like, because sometimes there are passengers that are like closer to our age that are married to, like, these guys that are married to these really rude women. Sometimes don't you just want to say, why don't you leave this bitch and come hang out with me in Wichita? No, that's just me.
That's you, but totally you should say it as they leave the aircraft. That's what you should put in your, like, little notes that you give them. Well, the one passenger.
You know what we could do on a future episode is,
why don't you leave this bitch and hang out with me in Wichita?
I think that when I'm ready to leave being a flight attendant, or at least leave our company, I kind of am tempted to just like let it rip for like a week. Just like say whatever the hell is on my mind. Tell all the passengers what I'm really thinking and see their reactions and see how long it takes me to get fired. And then we can do a podcast episode on how Katie got fired.
Well, I mean, you may as well. I mean, I pretty much say what I'm thinking a lot of times.
You can't help it.
Most people like it. I don't know.
I think you don't think as truly rude. I think my most inner thoughts are maybe worse than yours.
Probably. I think I am a very empathetic person to it, to it's not good for me, the empathy. I have too much, like I'm a bitchy person, but I'm too empathetic for people. Like, so it has helped me in this job though.
Yeah.
Let's talk about the let's next keep, one though.
Yeah. Okay, you didn't think this was as funny, but I'm going to say it anyways.
Yeah.
Don't put your fucking coat in the overhead bin. Overhead bins are for large roller suitcases. I cannot express that enough.
Yeah.
It doesn't bother you, though, just, apparently.
Just, I mean, it doesn't bother me that much, but it's just like, just wait until everybody is boarded and then stuff it in there.
And, you like, know? Usually people know, like, the gate agents will usually make an announcement and say, ladies and gentlemen, we have a completely full flight today. We are looking for X number of people to check their bags. Yada, yada, yada. Blah, blah, blah.
Yeah. And it's just like,
you know that this is a full flight, and yet you get on and you take your puffer jacket and put it across an entire overhead bin.
Yeah. Well, I will make an announcement, like, if I'm watching from the back of the plane, a bunch of people put their coats in, because if we're in a cold, like if we're coming from snow or whatever, if I'm seeing a bunch of people put their coats in or put small bags in the overhead or whatever, and I know we still have a bunch of people to board, I'll just make an announcement and say again, like, hey, can you please take your coats out and your small bags out of the overhead until everybody's boarded? Because if not, I'm going to have to come down the aisle and hand them back to you. And it would be easier if you just wait and then put it in there. And most of the time I see people doing it. But one time I did that, and as I was making the announcement, somebody like put their stuff in there, and I had like someone with them, like yelled at them, like, take your shit out of there. Like, you just said not to put your stuff in there.
Like, that's awesome.
Sometimes people get mad whenever like the people with them don't listen.
Well, yeah, I would too.
I would too, but like, it's kind of, it makes me happy whenever that happens.
It does too. And it, and somebody who's not with them thing will like look at me and smile.
I just, yeah. Smile or like makes, get mad.
Right. It honestly makes my day when somebody is rude or annoying or stupid and another person witnesses it and gives me a smile or a laugh or something to acknowledge that like that was ridiculous.
Or like you can like roll your eyes with a passenger at another passenger.
Yes.
That is my favorite thing. It, like whenever
my favorite part of this job. Honestly. Yeah,
I had this guy, so we had an overnight last night in Birmingham, Alabama. The same guy flew out with us. Okay. Yeah, a passenger. So passenger flew in yesterday and flew out the same.
Okay.
Same guy. So today this guy was being all extra about his bag, right? And the guy who was with me yesterday looked at me like, what the fuck is his problem? You know? Because he was like my first class buddy because he was doing like business traveling. Mm-hmm. And me and him each other like, oh, come on. What's going on with this dude? You know? Like,
I love that. And I can't, another reason I'm excited for the masks to go away is that I feel like it gives us a little bit more human interaction with the passengers.
Mm-hmm.
Because I think that more of that will come back. I think it's harder with the masks to like, I mean, obviously you did it yesterday. It's not impossible, but I think it will be happening more and more once the masks go away.
My eyes roll incredibly far back into my head.
You are a master eye roller.
Yeah. People know that I am irritated no matter what. Like,
you know what? I was just thinking, I can't even picture you rolling your eyes, but you know what? I think it's because when you do roll your eyes, you roll your head. Like, your whole body like leans backward, like you like do an eye roll with your entire body. So I don't even notice your eyes rolling. It's just like your whole being is just like rolling your eyes. Mm-hmm. So yeah, just yeah. Anyways, moving on.
Yeah.
Okay.
I'll say the next one.
Okay.
Do not stand in the aisle for 10 minutes during boarding. Just get your shit, pick it up, and get out of the way. Yeah, that's the saying.
Well, you know what I think almost bothers me more is when you're in the aisle for like 10 minutes, you're arguing about seats, you can't find a spot for your bag, just everything, all hell has broken loose. And so a flight attendant comes up and it's like, hi, can I help you find your seat? Can I, you know, what can I help with? Let's get you guys out of the aisle. And they're like, oh no, we've got it all figured out.
Oh yeah.
It's like, well, clearly you don't.
Like, obviously you don't have anything figured out. You've been standing here for 10 minutes.
You have absolutely nothing figured out.
It's like, we have a 30-minute boarding time. You've taken up one-third of it with you standing in the aisle. Get out of the way.
We still have 50 people to board this plane.
Yeah.
Move your ass.
It's like, please get out of the way.
Yeah. I just, maybe people don't realize that we just have the one aisle.
Well, even...
It's not a two-person aisle. It's just like, you have to get out of the way.
Well, the thing is, even whenever people don't act, like, if I say, oh, well, do you need my help? And they're like, no, we don't. I'm like, okay, well, it doesn't matter if you say no. I'm still going to give you unsolicited help.
I was like, I just trying to be polite.
I'm trying to be nice and get you to ask me specifically what you want. But instead, now I'm going to have to boss you around. And tell you to get out of the way. Like, we're just being nice and trying to be like, hey, do you need some help? Do you want me to help you with the bag to get out of the way? But now we're going to have to be like, okay, now put this bag here, do this, get into your seat so these people can come by. Because we were going to make it really sweet and nice and pleasant, but now we're going to have to boss you around and tell like a 50-year-old man to get out of the fucking way. Normally it's some idiot guy, but they'll have a single mom with three children and gets in the seat in like 2 minutes because she's prepared.
Yeah.
And then this like 55-year-old man with five things of headphones and a laptop and a iPad and everything waits until he gets to his seat to take everything out of his rollerboard.
I one time had a dad. I'm not going to say single dad because he was wearing a ring, but it was just one. It was just the dad and five kids. They had to be all under the age of 10. He was the most efficient passenger I have ever seen. He walks on with these five kids and I was being so judgmental and I'm like, good God. This is not going to go well. We've got this man trying to wrangle five kids. Like, one's a baby. Like, they're like 2, 4, 6, 8 and a baby. Like, they're all under the age of 10. They're all kids. It's just the one dad. And nobody's with him. I don't know where the mom is. And I'm like, oh my God, this is going to be a disaster. No, he totally showed me up. He got those kids right to their seat. They all sat down. They all got out their iPads or whatever. Like, he was in total control of that whole little group. It was, I wanted to film it and be like, this is how you travel with kids.
Oh, yeah.
Like, how can one guy with five little kids do that so quickly when two parents with one kid, it takes them 45 minutes to find their seat and sit down and get organized?
I don't know. Different parenting tactics.
Taxes.
Yeah.
That also, like you just said, about, you know, the 55-year-old man getting to his seat and taking the time to, like, go through his suitcase.
Uh-huh.
Our next point is, you know, what not to do. Don't rearrange your suitcase during boarding.
But people do it.
They do.
It's so annoying.
It's the worst.
And don't. This is just so annoying. And also, it's really annoying whenever people, they have like one bag and they'll have like their electronics, like their laptop or something, in like their rollerboard, or they'll like bring just a laptop on or something. So then they'll get the laptop out of the rollerboard while they're boarding, and then they'll be using it, and then they'll have to put the laptop back in the rollerboard before we leave.
Yeah.
And so they do it twice. So like there's people that I've seen do it twice. Like, I get that they're stowing their laptop, but please, for the love of God, bring a laptop bag.
You know that you want to use your laptop during flight. Why do you just have a spare laptop floating around willy-nilly all over the plane? Like, protect that sucker. Put it in a laptop bag. Put it underneath the seat in front of you.
Yeah, I don't get it. I don't get that either, because people are like, oh yeah, I'll just put it underneath the seat. Like, just put just my laptop just flying solo underneath the seat. I'm like, yeah, you can't do that. Also, I've had laptops literally fly to the back of the plane. I mean, obviously, that's not a good thing if your laptop's going to fly to the back of the plane.
Yeah. And we, this is not on our list, but one of our other pet peeves, I think, is people don't understand that you're not allowed to put your laptop in the seat pocket in front of you. That's a, you know, that's an FAA regulation. That's a federal law. You can't put your laptop in the seat pocket in front of you. And that's one of the things that people do, is they're like, oh, I won't put it in my roller bag. I'll just put it in the seat pocket. What I always say is, I was like, oh, actually, that's heavy enough that if we hit a bump, it's coming right for your face. And that would be a bummer. Or like, I don't think you want that to happen. Like, I don't even tell them that they can't do that anymore. I'm like, well, if you put it there, it's going to smack you in the face. And that'll hurt.
Yeah. I mean, it's just like, there's a certain weight limit of your laptop. So yeah. You either bring a tablet and you can hold the tablet the whole time, or you put away your laptop. So,
and usually if you are working on a laptop on a flight, you're traveling for business and you travel probably a lot, you know the rules.
Yeah.
Don't act dumb.
Mm-hmm.
You know the rules.
Exactly.
Is there anything else you want to add to what not to do?
No, I think that's good for now. Let's talk about how to be a good passenger. Some of the things we think you should do to make us happy.
And to make yourself happy.
Yeah, to have a good flight. To have a all-around good experience while flying.
Yes. Kick it off, JoJo.
Bring snacks. Lots and lots of snacks.
I can't stress this enough.
Also, especially if you have kids, bring snacks. If you're pregnant, bring snacks. If you have specific allergies or dietary needs, bring snacks. If you have kids that drink milk, bring milk. We don't have milk.
We don't have milk.
Yes. Also,
people always ask that.
We do not breastfeed children, so we can't do that either. Like, there's just so many things that we cannot do.
Are you saying that a passenger has asked you to breastfeed their child?
Honestly, I wouldn't put it past them at this point. They've asked for so
much. But has that happened?
No.
Okay.
No.
Yikes.
But they have asked for, like, I've been asked for kids, for milk for babies so many times. I'm like, you might as well be asking for me to breastfeed your child. You didn't prepare
for no, me to have
food on a flight.
I think you crossed a line there.
Not like the lady breastfeeding a cat on the Delta flight.
I'm sorry, what?
You didn't see that video?
No.
Oh yeah, there's a lady who was trying to breastfeed a cat.
Like, she was trying to get the cat to drink from her human breast. Uh-huh. That's one of the most horrific things I've ever heard.
Yeah, thank God I wasn't working that.
Yeah. Yeah, so anyways, bring snacks. Bring snacks because I even if you don't have kids, even if you don't have any special dietary restrictions, like, I just don't understand why every person traveling doesn't have a couple protein bars in their purse or whatever. We have delays. You never know if you're almost to your destination and there's a storm and you have to divert. Like, there's just so many things that can go wrong.
Exactly.
Getting you from one side of the country to the other. Like, you cannot guarantee that that plane is going to have enough pretzels for some kind of event. Especially if you think that you have a connection. I think we see this one a lot where people have, like, a two-hour connection. So they think, oh, I'll get lunch or I'll get snack between our flights. But then the flight is delayed.
And... Oh, yeah. They have, like, a 30-minute connection or they have a short connection. And then they get to the plane and they're like, oh, my God, I had a short connection. Do you have any food? And I'm like, or they didn't have time to get food. They're like, do you have any food? And I'm like, I have pretzels for you. Right. Like, you can have pretzels. That's all we have on the plane. And
depending on the flight, it's like sometimes we have things you can buy or sometimes we have better snacks and all airlines are a little bit different. But you just, it's really not that hard to put a little snack in your bag.
We have catering issues and we don't have stuff.
Exactly. Sometimes we have to choose between having enough snacks and being on time and having you make your connection.
Mm-hmm.
To be honest, I usually choose make the connection.
Being on time.
Mm-hmm. Being on time. So, yeah. Bring snacks. Next on the list is be prepared. I don't know what you meant with this, so you can elaborate.
I think be prepared is just like in general. I don't know. I think in general, like, just know what you're doing. Like, know, like, where your seat is. Like, I've had people walk onto the plane and be like, oh my God, I don't know where my seat is. Do you know where my seat is? And I'm like, no. Like, how? And they're like, can you look it up for me? And I'm like, I can, but, like, stuff like that, where I'm just like, what? Like, how did you not even look to see where your seat is until you walked on the aircraft? Or, like, make sure you're going to the right destination. Like, we showed up in Jackson Hole, and the woman thought they were going to Jackson, Mississippi. And they, like, didn't double check that. Like, they didn't, like, just certain, like, just be, pay attention, basically, is what I meant. Pay attention, be prepared, bring food, bring water, bring diapers, bring everything that you would need if something out of the blue happened.
Yeah. I had a passenger one time where getting ready for landing or maybe takeoff, it was like a college kid, and it was a quick flight, and he goes, is there going to be alcohol or something on this flight? And I was like, no, but it's only like a 30-minute flight. And he was so shocked. He goes, what? Where are we going? And I, like, told him the name of the city we were going to. It was like a ski town in Colorado, I think. And he goes, where's that? And thankfully, like, a couple people near him just busted out laughing, and they were like, are you kidding me, dude? Like, you don't know where you're going. Like, you're on the plane. And I was all of a sudden like, can I take a look at your boarding pass? Are you on the right flight? And he was like, oh, yeah, my dad booked the flight for me. I didn't even look where we were going. I just came from Florida. It's like the dead of winter, and we're going to a ski town. And he goes, is it going to be cold there? And I'm like, yeah, it's going to be fucking cold. He's like, oh, shit, all I brought was shorts and t-shirts. What? Like, he literally is sitting on the plane, we're about to take off, and he has absolutely no idea where we're going, no idea how long our flight is. Like, somehow he managed to get on the right plane, the right flight, and get in his correct seat, but didn't know what city we were going to.
Still didn't know. If he just saw gate, he just looked at gate, time, but just didn't look at city. Just didn't care.
I guess so. You know, some things aren't important to some people.
His parents were just like, here, get here. This is where we're going. Get to this gate. They know their son.
Oh my god, it was so funny. But so then, yeah. So we were done for the night when we got there, and he was still just like standing at the airport waiting for his ride.
Oh god. When
we left. And I was like, are we sure? I mean, I looked at his boarding pass, but I was kind of like, are we sure he's in the right city? Like, can we just leave him here? What's going on?
Oh my god.
Oh, some people. Okay, so yes, be prepared. I think one thing I would like to add to be prepared, mm-hmm, is go to the bathroom.
Yes. Like, that's good.
Go to
the bathroom in the terminal.
Yes, you can use the bathroom on the plane during boarding. Do you really want to, though?
Yeah, do you really want to go to the bathroom on the plane whenever you can go to a full-size restroom?
Regular restroom that gets regular cleaning. Yeah. Yeah. We'll talk about that another time, but just go to the bathroom at the airport.
Mm-hmm.
Go ahead.
And be early is one that I think is, most people are early to the airport. It's just definitely try and be as early as you can, because especially now we're not sure how security is going to be. Sometimes it's absolutely insane and sometimes it's not bad. So
I'm going to say something that I think is going to make you laugh.
What?
I think being early is the number one most important thing when traveling.
I don't think that's funny. I think it's true.
Oh, I thought you'd think that's funny coming from me.
Oh, yeah, it is funny coming from you.
Because I'm always late for everything.
And she's always late. And also, like, if you guys could ever see Katie get ready for stuff, it's like a tornado. I mean.
But I do it. I mean, like, mm-hmm, you know that I can be sitting on the couch and be on my way to the airport headed to a new country in 15 minutes.
That's true.
Like, yeah, it might be a little bit of a shit show, but like, I can do it.
You can.
But yeah, I just think people are so dumb at the airport. I think it just perplexes me, and I think every other flight attendant and aviation person, how dumb people get.
Mm-hmm. My captain on this trip, like, I forget, we were saying, like, people check their brains at the gate. What else were you saying? They leave their brains on the ground.
Yeah, that's what I like to say, is they check their brains at security.
They check their brains at security. So you said that, and I was like, oh, they leave their brains on the ground or something. Well, my captain was like, yeah, I think he's from South Africa, and the way he says stuff, it kind of like, no matter what he says, even though like the saying might not click that well, it's still good, you know. And he was like, yeah, whenever those people go through security, something happens with their brains whenever they go through those machines. I was like,
yes.
I was like, that's a good one. Like, he's like, yeah, those machines, all those passengers' brains, like, I don't know what happens once they pass through security. They don't have anything up there. And I was like, yeah, that makes sense.
And I have been thinking long and hard about this for months now. And I'm like, there has to be a study or something done on the effects of the human brain in the airport. And the conclusion I have come up with, I have not done any actual research other than just walking around the airport, other than just being in the airport and dealing with travelers, is that it's stress.
Oh, yeah, it's stress.
It's stress because even I have shown up to an airport and either I think that I'm not going to make it on the flight or I'm running late or something happened and I'm stressed. And it's like, I do this every day, multiple times a day. But every once in a while, I get dumb at the airport.
I think the airport, there's too much overstimulation.
Totally.
It's like too many people, too many signs, like too many sounds. Lights, just like the lights.
But and it's like,
and if you don't do it every day too, if you're like maybe you travel once every 5 years or once a year or something, and you come and it's just like this overwhelming sensory experience.
And you already are thinking, you know, maybe you're stressed about why you're traveling. Maybe there was traffic on the way there and you're stressed about getting through security on time. Or maybe security was long and you get through and you're stressed about making it to your flight on time. Like, or food or drinks, or maybe you're a nervous flyer. Like, there's so many stress triggers for everyone. Even for us, there's so many triggers at an airport mm-hmm. that can cause us to get stressed. And I think that if you show up early, like early, that eliminates so many of those stressors.
Yeah, because you can get through the stressful part, the initial stressful part, and like chill for a second.
Right.
The stressful part again, like the boarding part is kind of stressful, and then sit down. But like you can get through TSA, you can check your bags, get through TSA, be stressed out for that, and then you can go get breakfast or a drink or something.
Right.
Like, and chill for a second and like decompress.
Right, go get some French fries and a beer and then get to your gate super early and hear all of the announcements. Because boarding is less stressful when you know what's going on.
Yeah.
You show up to the gate boarding, you don't know what boarding group they're in because you haven't heard all the announcements and it's confusing. And I get it. I've done that.
Yeah, exactly.
But if you allow yourself plenty of time, it just is so much less stressful, which just makes your mind work better.
Yeah.
And you're less likely to bother us.
Exactly.
Definitely. Be a bad passenger and be an asshole. Okay, so along the same lines, and we did kind of already talk about this, but book Reasonable Connections.
Yeah.
Exactly. I think that kind of speaks for itself.
Mm-hmm. So another one for me is to wear normal clothes, which I guess for me, like, I don't really care what people wear, but wear something comfortable that you won't get cold in. Like, don't wear super short shorts and a tank top whenever it's like 30 degrees outside.
Right.
And planes tend to be cold, so bring layers. Basically, that's the gist of that.
And I don't know that any airlines have brought blankets back either.
No.
So, and I don't know that they will after we know so much about germs now.
Yeah.
So, yeah, bring layers, bring a sweatshirt, be comfortable and warm.
Mm-hmm.
Make sure you can bring a bag that you can lift in the overhead bin. And I know both you and I, Jojo, could talk about this for like hours. We've gone into it before. We don't help people lift their bags. We don't want to get hurt.
Yeah.
So
just check it.
Just check
it. If you can't lift your bag, just check it. It's not a big deal. I don't know why it's such a big deal. If I mean, sometimes it is, but just check it. Just
check it. And it's going to make your life easier.
Do it for you.
No. And you're just going to have such a better travel experience if you're not carrying too many bags that you can't lift and you're falling over the place. And just keep it simple.
Yeah. And help others around you. Like, if you see a woman struggling with her bag, like, help her out. It expedites boarding. Yep. It helps us get off the plane quicker. If you help someone get their bag, just little things like that. Totally. We notice.
Yeah.
So, I had some people offer to move for a couple that I was helping out, and I gave them free drinks because they offered to move back in the plane, and they moved the couple I moved up. And I was like, oh, well, I mean, we don't do that all the time, but they were really, really helping us out in a bad situation. So,
yeah, anytime you see an opportunity to help somebody on the plane or help the flight attendant, like, we usually notice it, and we try not to let those things go unrecognized. So, like, maybe we'll write a note to our airline and say, this passenger did this, or we'll give you free alcohol, or, like,
yeah,
whatever. Just, like, just whatever you can do to help other people around you helps us, which then makes us take off sooner. Everyone's day go better.
I have a really good story about this, but I'm going to have to share it on another podcast, actually, because it's kind of
okay. We are already running so long with this episode.
And the last one we're going to say about being a good passenger is
sorry.
bring headphones or a book or a magazine or something to occupy your time. Like today our Wi-Fi was inoperative all day on the plane. So don't just bring headphones. Don't plan on using the Wi-Fi. No. Bring something extra.
Or don't plan on the airplane having headphones. They don't all have headphones.
Yeah. Like most of the time, if the plane doesn't have screens in the headrest, we are not going to have headphones on the plane.
Yeah.
And don't plan on this plane having screens either.
Yeah. Or the Wi-Fi working. You're like 35,000 feet in the air, or at least like 30,000 feet in the air. Like,
yeah.
The chances of the Wi-Fi working perfectly or even being fast is small. It's not good Wi-Fi. I don't care what airline you're flying, the Wi-Fi isn't great.
Yeah, and bring headphones that you can plug into the headset if you want to use your own headphones, if you don't want to buy headphones. That you can't use your Beats or your AirPods to listen to the screen in the headrest.
If the plane does have a screen, yeah.
If the plane does have a screen, you're going to have to purchase headphones. So if you want to use those, you're going to have to use like analog. So be prepared. That's part of being prepared.
Yeah. And just like we've said before, you just never know what's going to happen. Delays are inevitable. Stuff happens. You need to be able to entertain yourself for a few hours. Yeah. And potentially a few hours longer.
Bring a deck of cards if you have friends with you. Like, if you have little kids, there's those things that stick onto the window. Like, there's so much stuff that you can bring to entertain yourself.
Yes, exactly.
Besides screens.
Well, I think that pretty much wraps it up.
Yeah.
How to be an asshole, how to be a good passenger.
Yeah.
How not to be an asshole.
Yeah, thanks for listening this time around. We will figure out a title for this episode.
But as always, thanks for joining us. Follow us on Twitter. We're on Twitter now. We're also on Instagram, TikTok, Pinterest. And yeah, give us a follow, subscribe, send us a review. We love hearing from you guys.
Yeah, let us know what you liked and what you didn't like. We like your feedback. Thank you.
All right. See you guys next week.
Bye.